Hello, you're listening to the teaching podcast of Bay Ridge Christian Church. Each Sunday, our aim is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ from the text of the Bible and to catalyze the hearts of our hearers to love and gratitude towards God and all of His creation. We hope you enjoy this teaching, and we pray that you'll be encouraged to trust in Jesus today. This morning, our message is going to be out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The title of this message is Love, the Mark of the Church. I'm going to say a brief prayer. Before I do, I want to thank all of you who are serving this church. And there's so many ministries that take place all week long, Sunday morning included. And so many of we here sitting in this room and those who are not sitting in the room right now give their time and their talents to faithfully serve this body. And I want to say thank you. I see so much of it, and it blesses me tremendously. With that, let's turn to the Lord. Father, you have given us your word. You have given us Christ, your Son, the Word incarnate, so that we might be completely equipped for life and godliness. Father, your word is powerful. It changes our lives. It caused all things to be created. And by the power of your word, you sustain us. Father, you have communicated to us your love through your word. And Father, you have softened our hearts. You've caused us to be your children. You have filled us with your love. So, Father, I thank you for your kindness to us. And I ask, Lord, that you would cause your word to bear fruit in our lives this morning and into eternity. Lord, your goal is to change us so that we would not look like ourselves any longer, but that we would look like Christ, our Lord and Savior. I ask that as we hear your word, Father, you would yourself speak to us and change us into the image of Christ, your Son. In his name I pray. Amen. Our text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 should possibly be up on the screens. It says this: Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, because you yourselves have been taught by God. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout all of Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, do so more and more. There's an idea that love begets love. If you've ever been angry at someone who loves you, and you've wanted to kind of nurse that anger like I do, because I'm introverted and I think through things and I process them internally, and I'm not a blow up kind of guy. My wife and I, through regular life, typically what will happen is if I do something wrong, she'll let me know. I'll get upset that she let me know, but the way that I deal with it is I stew for a while. And my wife, because she's a godly woman and loves me in spite of my flaws, generally pursues me both through teasing, through pointing out the somewhat selfishness and idiocy of my behavior, but in a way that calls to me, that doesn't deride me, that doesn't belittle me. And it's hard for me to not respond, even in those moments when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, and when I want to hold it against her. It's difficult for me not to respond by breaking through with a grin. And she knows, as many of you who have children know, once the grin has broken through, the battle's already over. Because love begets love. One of the beautiful things about love, it calls to us. It invites us. It disarms our defenses. Here's where I'm going to be driving with this. God, because he is love, because that's his nature, the inheritance that we have received as his church is that we ourselves would abound in love towards each other. We're going to look at this verse, and we're going to look at four things in the verse. I'm going to tease them out a little bit. We're going to look at the source of the love. We're going to look at the demonstration of the love. We're going to look at the impact of the love, and we're going to look at the charge to love. And my goal here is that you, Bay Ridge Christian Church, would be encouraged. I was thinking through and saying, Lord, what should I bring Sunday morning with Brett being out of town or in the middle of this all-in series? I'm loving the series. I'm also being convicted by the series. It's odd because I'm one of the few people that gets to work with Brett and figure out how to say things that will cut to the heart, that will convict. And I give Brett these things and say, you know, ask this question or pull this point out in the midst of this all-in series. And then he stands here and says, and I'm like, oh, that's me. So I said, Lord, I'd like something encouraging. And God said to me, in essence, you see how much this church loves. Bay Ridge Christian Church is a church that is known for loving. People walk in, visitors walk in, first, second, third time, whatever it is, there is a common comment that they make, and that's this church is a very loving church. Because of that, I want to say to you with Paul from 1 Thessalonians, regarding brotherly love, I have no need to instruct you because you've been taught by God. Yet I urge you, do so more and more. That's the encouragement from the text. So we're going to look at the source of this love. Paul says this, I don't have any need to instruct you because you yourselves have been taught by God. This verb, taught by God, only occurs twice in the New Testament. And it literally says, God instructed, given by God. It's a very unique verb. It doesn't indicate a teaching that's kind of teacher to student. It means what Paul's saying is that this love is something that was placed in you. It was an impartation from God. You can see this when you look at Paul's other writings. He says that we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's love poured out into us. And in Paul's way of thinking, when God pours his love into you by the Holy Spirit, that results in God's way of loving being transferred to the believer. And so Paul says, I don't even need to tell you to do this. I don't need to do it because you're already doing because you were taught by God. Sorry, I didn't have any coffee this morning, and this cold water is not helping me much. Please bear with me. We can see this as well. We're going to jump over to John chapter 17, verse 23. Jesus, praying for the disciples in the high priestly prayer, says this. He says to the Father, I in you, what does he say? He says, I in them, as you are in me, bring them to complete unity so that the world will know that you have sent me, that I have loved you. I in them, as you are in me. You can see that there is a direction. God is in Christ. Christ is in the believer. There's a very clear source. There's a very clear recipient. And Christ in the middle is a very clear means. Paul says, this is how this works. This comes from God. And because it comes from God, it's what's innate to you. It's why I said, this is our inheritance. This is what we have received because God is love. And because God is our Father, we've received this inheritance of abundant love directly from the Father. We can see this as well in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. In verses 1 and 2, Paul says this. And again, this starts up kind of a chiasm where Paul's going to say in verses 1 and 2 what he's also going to say in verses 9 and 10, but he changes them a little bit here. He says, now finally, brethren, we've instructed you how to live so as to please the Lord in all things, as in fact you already do. Now we ask and we urge you to do so more and more. We ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 2, we ask you this by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, even in this passage here, what he's saying is the source is not from me. I'm not giving you this instruction. I could give you instruction, love each other. I could tell you, serve one another. But it's not coming from me. God himself has taught you. And we have this on the authority of Jesus. Love. So the source of love is firmly rooted in God. It's taught to us by God himself. As he has loved us. We'll look at this in a second as we look at the demonstration of love. God teaches us how to love himself. He teaches us to love through Christ. And through the power of Christ, he puts his love into us, and through that flows to others. And so next we'll turn to the demonstration of love. Paul says, again, back in verses 9 and 10, we don't have any need to instruct you because you're already doing it. And indeed, you love all the brothers throughout all of Macedonia. You have to understand 1 Thessalonians is written to the people in Thessalonica. It's a very prominent city in Rome. Around Thessalonica, there's Macedonia, there's Philippi, and there's Berea. All cities where Paul has traveled and preached. What he says to the Thessalonians is, you guys have loved all these people. Your love hasn't been contained to your city, to your church, to your region. But everyone who's in the area, the entire church that's around you, all the brothers who name the name of Christ as their Savior, all who have been wedded to the Father through Christ, you show your love to them. You demonstrate your love towards them. The demonstration that Paul looks at is in the Thessalonians themselves. The same as I can look at Bay Ridge and say, Bay Ridge, you are already loving. You're already loving the nations. You're already loving this community right here. You're already loving this church. You're already loving the brothers here. You're already loving this community and this region. Already do it. I don't want to move past that too quickly. I want you to stop and think for just a second. Think about the things that we do here in this church, not for us, for the community around us. Think about the love that's expressed through the sacrifice and the labor that this church is already engaged in. Think about the fact that that love doesn't come from within us. It's love that God has placed in us. Love that God has worked in us to show the world. This demonstration of love is not just limited to the Macedonians. In Luke chapter 10, we can go there, if that's on the screen there, it's going to be verses 25 to 29. It says at one time, a teacher of the law, ruler of the law, came to Christ and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what's the law say? How do you read it? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered well. Do all these things and you'll live. But the text goes on and says this, but the man, wishing to justify himself, asked, who is my neighbor? We all recognize that phrase, but who is my neighbor? Because we know that leads into the story of the Good Samaritan. But this demonstration of love Jesus lays out there for this teacher of the law, as he tells the story of the Samaritan, a man who had no love, but only enmity for the Jews, a man who gives his own money, his own belongings to care for this man who should be his enemy. That's the love that's demonstrated by God. That's the love that's demonstrated through Christ. So this demonstration of love that Bay Ridge is a part of, this demonstration of love that the Thessalonians were a part of in Macedonia, Bay Ridge and Anne Arundel County, starts as a result of the demonstration of love that God has already done. There's another place that the love is demonstrated. See it more, most clearly in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. This is going to say Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. Ignore that. I'll tell you what Romans 5, 6 through 8 says. It says this, "You see, but at just the right time, at just the right time, while we were helpless, Christ died for the unrighteous." For rarely will anyone die for a righteous, but for a good man, some might even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this demonstration of love again goes right back to the source. God loved us through Christ. Christ, in obedience, loved us by loving the Father, laying down his life for us. We, having been taught by God, having had that love put into us, demonstrate that love to the church and to those around us. So there's a source of love, there's a demonstration of love. We're going to move on to the impact of love. And this is going to be a little bit of an excursus. This isn't really in the text, verses 9 and 10 of 1 Thessalonians, but I think it's important. And so we're going to go here for a second. There's an impact of love. We see this when we look back at Luke chapter 10, specifically in verse 25. What does the young man ask? He says to Jesus, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" You realize that the impact of receiving love, specifically receiving God's love, as God has created us to receive it, responding to God's love, and then loving him in return, is what Jesus says is how you receive eternal life. Again, the man said, "You shall love the Lord your God." He's quoting the scripture. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself." That was the answer he gave. And Jesus said, "That's correct. Do that, and you will receive eternal life." You realize how connected that is. That the impact of love is that it proves that we have received eternal life. John fleshes this out in 1 John. I'm not going to go there because Brett just spent like 7 months on it or something. God is love. We love God because we are in God. If we don't love God, we don't know God. You can go back and look at that if you need more proof there. There's a second impact of love. Jesus says this in John chapter 13, verse 35. He says this, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. The world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another." There's a because clause. Okay? Catch that. "The world will know that you're my disciple because you have love one for another." The impact of walking in love is that the world can look at you and me and say, "That must be a follower of God. That must be a disciple of Christ. Look at the way they love each other." I'm blessed here to have my friend Dave Razor and his wife with us this morning. Dave led the team that I was on in China back in May. And I'll say this because you're here, brother. One of the things that truly impressed me about ELIC was the love that they had for each other. The commitment of brotherly and sisterly love between those members. It's a tremendous testimony. There's a third impact of love. We're going to look at Ephesians for this. The impact of love here is that it makes us holy and blameless. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start with verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, "Be imitators of God as dear children." Live a life of love. "Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, it's a fragrant offering to God." So he says, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Why? Because this is imitating God. God, through Christ, Christ gave up his life as a fragrant offering to God. That was how he loved you. Paul's going to flesh this out. We're going to jump down here to verses 25 through 27 and look at just how Paul describes this. When he says this, and don't get hung up on this first word because we're not talking about the husbands at all. He says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, so that he might present her to himself a radiant church without stain or blemish, but holy, blameless. The love that Christ poured out to you and to me, the church universal, caused, washed, and caused the church to be holy and blameless. If you've been in the church for more than 5 minutes, you know that we are not holy and blameless people. In fact, we are wholly blameful. We oftentimes wear our sin as a badge of honor, pride. Don't tread on me. And that doesn't stop just because we walk through the doors of the church. Yet God in Christ caused there to be a radiant bride. Think back to your wedding day, you husbands. Think back to when you saw your wife to be standing there at the back of the church, arrayed in one of the finest dresses she would ever wear. That smile on her face, looking down towards you. That same feeling, that same sense of anticipation, of joy, is what Christ has for the church because of his love poured out for her. Paul says, now be imitators of God. It's a very childlike thing to do. Imitate God. You've seen children, they're great imitators. That's how they learn. That's how they have fun. That's how they annoy you. They imitate. That's how they show off when you're sinning, because they imitate. And you're like, don't I do that. Never. Do I correct that? Do I not correct that? I don't know anymore. My kids have never come out and said anything in public that I would be ashamed to know that was said in the household. But I know it's not because I haven't said things I'd be ashamed to be said outside of my household, in my household. Paul says, be imitators of God as dear children. Live a life of love just as Christ loved you. Gave his life up for the church to make her holy. So there's these three impacts of love. Number one, by living in love towards God specifically and towards our neighbors, that's the extent we prove that we have eternal life. Number two, the world can look at us and know that we are Christ's disciples. And number three, by receiving Christ's love, we've been made holy and blameless. But the second half of that is that by operating in God's love, we are also made holy and blameless. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul says this, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of all of his holy ones. What's Paul saying here? This is my prayer. The depth of affection that I have for you as your older brother in the Lord, as the one who taught you the things of God, the one who proclaimed you salvation in Christ, as just as my love overflows for you, my prayer for you is that your love would overflow for everyone else, all the brothers, so that when you're in the presence of God, you will be holy and blameless. It's not just that Christ's love has caused the church to be cleansed and made holy and blameless, but it's that's this imparting of love, this putting of God's love into our lives, into our hearts. As Paul says, being trained by God, taught by God to love, is what God uses to make us holy and blameless. Again, if you ever dealt with anyone else in their sin and you've had to forgive them, you can understand this. Very few things make us walk in humility, make us walk in God's holiness, than having to deal with someone else's sin. I should say deal with it righteously. We always deal with it. Dealing with it rightly, forbearing, covering a multitude of sins, keeping no record of wrong. This is the love that God's poured out to us. Paul's prayer is that this love would abound in you through God. And so we have the source of love being God. We have the demonstration of love starting with God in the First Thessalonian church in Bay Ridge. We have the impact of love being that we can know we have eternal life, being that the world will know that we are Christ's disciples and that we will become holy and blameless as the church. And so finally, Paul in this passage charges them, urges them to love. He says, you're already doing this. I don't need to give you any instructions to do this because you are already doing it. He says, indeed, you're already doing this. You've been taught by God, and so you're doing it. Yet I urge you, do so more and more. We need to hear this, not in the way that I would oftentimes say, because I'm the kind of guy who sees the 2% that we got wrong and the 98% that we got right, and I talk about the 2%. Annoys my wife to no end. But that's the way that I work. When God talks to me, God talks to me about the 2%. And I know that He's great with the 98%. I know that He wants the 2% to be perfected, but as a result, I have this fallen nature, so I talk about the 2%. It's easy for me to say this, to read this passage and say, okay, God has taught me how to love, I'm already doing it, but I need to do better. I can do more. I can do more. Where can I improve this? Where am I not doing quite enough? Where am I not getting it quite right? But that's not what Paul is saying. That is fundamentally not what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying here is, you're already doing it. I'm encouraged because I see this. He's just prayed this prayer in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13, and says, may God increase your love so that you'll be holy and blameless. And then he goes to 4, and he says, now finally, we've instructed you how to live so as to please God, which you're already doing. And he says it there. Because of this, we urge you and we ask you, do it more and more. Because Paul understands when we live the way God has created us to live, when we live the way that He has made us to be, our joy will be made full. Paul's desire here is for the church in Thessalonica to be full of joy, to be holy and blameless, to be experiencing God's love, not just in them, but through them. Because in that, they will experience and know God the most deeply. And so he moves from there in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 to verses 9 and 10. He says, now concerning brotherly love, I don't even need to say anything because you're already loving all the brothers. You're loving everyone else in all of Macedonia because you were taught by God. And so I urge you, keep going. And that is what I want to say to you here at Bay Ridge. Keep going. You're doing it well. You're doing it well. I want to underscore this. We as a church love our community, our neighbors, the world, each other well. By the grace of God. Now keep going. There is, in fact, a reward that's waiting for us. And there's a harvest that is yet to be collected. And love is what motivates us to pursue that reward, which is, in fact, the collecting of the harvest and offering ourselves to Christ our King with all that we have and saying, here, this is nothing. I throw this at your feet. You take this. If I can just have you. If I can just have you. I'm going to tease this out just a little bit by looking at the way that Paul and Peter both pick up this urge to love, this urging to love. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul, as after he's given the gospel, after he's described the state that we were in rebellion towards God, having our hearts hardened, God turning us over to the wickedness of our desires. And then God in Christ justifying us, saving us, giving us new life, giving us a new nature, giving us victory over sin. After all of that, he gets to chapter 12. He starts chapter 12 by saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, live your lives. That's an offering, which is your reasonable act of service to God. In verses, that's wrong. There we go. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12, Paul says this, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Why? Why does love have to be sincere? Because the love that God poured out on us was sincere. That's what chapters 1 through 11 are all about. That's what they're all about. God's love for us was sincere, and so Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And he says this, and be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another greater than yourself. Peter, we're going to look at four verses here because Peter picks this up as well. In 1 Peter, what is this? This is going to be 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says this, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Now that you have purified yourself in the truth, live in love. Chapter 2, verse 17, he says this, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the king. Chapter 3, verse 8, he says this, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. And finally, in 2 Peter verses, chapter 1, verse 7, Peter's building this case, he's telling the believers how to live, and I'm going to jump into the middle of it, and so it's going to be somewhat disjointed, but he says this, he's saying, add to your faith. Add, once you've added, add more to it. And he says this, he says, into godliness, brotherly kindness, into brotherly kindness, add love. For Paul, for Peter, for John, for James. We see this throughout the entire New Testament after Christ because of the way Christ has loved us. There's an urgent charge for us to love each other, specifically within the body of Christ. Specifically. As an aside, I'll tell you, when I get together with other pastors in Annapolis, and there's Presbyterian guys, and there's Baptist guys, and on occasion, there's guys from the Russian Orthodox Church, and there's Episcopalians, and there's Anglicans, and there's Catholics, and there's Methodists, and there's Lutherans. On the one hand, it's very, very sweet to be in company with these guys, praying to our Lord. On the other hand, it's very, very painful to see how we have allowed the body of Christ to be divided. Paul and Peter would have had none of this. Paul and Peter would have had none of this. Denominationalism. Because there was one body, one wife, one husband, one church. B. Because of that, they urge us. They plead with us. And God, through the Spirit, through His Word, pleads with us to walk in love. And so, Bay Ridge, brothers and sisters, friends, who I have started by commending you for the service that you give, who have talked about the things that you already do to love God and to serve the church and to serve the community, to you I say, you don't need to be told to do this. You're already doing this. Keep going. Keep going. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow towards each other and to everyone else, just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His holy ones. Go in the love of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To find more teachings and other resources like this one, please go to our website, www.brcc.church.